turn in your Bibles to some verses that Margie quoted this morning, and she didn't know what I was going to talk about, but Ephesians chapter 6, we're talking about our authority as a believer and that authority that we have, how to appropriate that authority, and you have authority this morning. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 and 11. Let's look at this. Amen. Ephesians 6, 10 and 11. Finally, my brethren, be strong where? In your effort? In your effort? Am I not on? Am I not on? Maybe I'm on. Am I on? Am I? Oh, good. Doesn't sound like it. Maybe I am. So I am. So there I am. Not in your effort, but in the power of the Lord. It's not about our effort. It's about what he's done through us. Amen? So cool. That you might be able, put on the whole armor, be a warrior. Put on the armor. Put it on. The whole armor of God. You may be able to stand against the wiles, trickery, deception, deceit, lies of the enemy. The enemy is a liar. Turn to someone and say to them, the devil is a liar. That's what he tries to appropriate in the minds of people, is to tell them that they're not good enough, that they've blown it, that they'll never be good enough, just well give up. But I'm here to tell you, Jesus was good enough, his blood was powerful enough, and therefore it makes you good enough. Amen. He does not disqualify anyone. He never disqualifies you. Oh, but Pastor, you don't know. No, God never disqualifies you. God forgives you because that's his way. But he never disqualifies you. Therefore, you have the full right of a believer in Christ and the authority, hallelujah, to blow the devil away. This 44 Magnum, most powerful handgun in the world. Devil, it'll blow your head clean off. Do you feel lucky? Well, do you, punk? Just hold up your Bible this morning. Jesus, help me. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. And I can do what it says I can do. Today, I boldly confess, my mind is clear, my heart is open to receive God's word, and I will never be the same, never the same, in Jesus' name, amen. Turn around somebody and say, aren't you glad you can have fun in Jesus? Woo! Praise God. I tell you, I lived under Christianity that was basically morbid. Morbid, I've been there. It really wasn't Christianity, it was religion, but I thought it was Christianity. But it was morbid. It was just like, I remember being in Wyoming and somebody said, there's a petrified tree, and I thought, that's a Christian. That's what it is. I thought there was no way you could enjoy life. You couldn't enjoy life. You just couldn't. But I found out Jesus said, I've come to give you life and to give it to you more abundantly, but I wasn't having that abundant life. I was under all this condemnation and guilt and feeling like I didn't measure up and I never was good enough and I constantly had to repent. And I don't mean just changing my mind. I mean going to the altar and repenting, crying, Jesus, forgive Jesus, about every weekend. Hello, anybody ever been there? Every youth camp, we got saved again. Every year I got saved multiple times during the year. The pastor counted every time, backslid and saved. Because we used to think you could backslide. Because that scripture says, fall from grace. So they'd take that falling from grace as, you backslid. You have to get back right with God. And really it's, you fall from grace when you turn to the law and your own effort. That's falling from grace. When you turn to the law and your own effort. When you're in Jesus, you're always there, man. Hello. So, when we accept the authority Jesus gave us, we realize that we have the ability to withstand the enemy. As Christians, we are righteous because Jesus made us righteous. You are the righteousness of God. Whether you feel like it, whether you don't, whether your actions don't line up to it, you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. You are holy. You are sanctified, set apart. In fact, in your spirit, you're perfect. You are a perfect spirit in God's sight. Spirit, soul, body. Your soul, your body sometimes get out of whack and out of line, but your spirit, honey, is perfected. Wow, in Jesus you are perfected. But when we don't know the truth of who we are in Christ, hello, and the dominion that we have been given, by default we turn our authority over to the enemy. Just by not knowing what Christ has provided through us, through grace, through faith, we turn it over to the enemy. We give him the authority. We are God's own children, but the devil will always try to shame us into thinking there's something wrong with us. He'll always try to do that. It's his major thing. Hey, there's something wrong with you. You know, God didn't really love you. God didn't really care about you. You know what? You're different than everybody else. I'm telling you, God loves you, man. He loves you ultimately. Amen. He died for you. He cares for you. And like I told those two young ladies, he has a great plan for your life. Hallelujah. Better than anything you could come up with, for sure. Amen. So, you know, we should not forget that we have unconditional authority in our lives. We've got to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might, not ours. We put on the armor of God. We put it on. Amen. That you may be able to stand against what? The trickery of the enemy. We're clothed in the armor. Amen. We have the helmet of salvation. We have the breastplate of righteousness. Our loins are girded with the truth, his word. We have the preparation of peace shod with our feet. Amen. Our peace, everywhere we go, we experience peace. We have the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Amen. We are equipped in every aspect, amen, to overcome the lies of the devil. Wow. The Bible says this. Look at John 4:24. Who is God? Well, we know God is love, right? How many know God is love? God doesn't have love. It's not an attribute. God is love. Amen. What else is God? God is what? God is spirit. And those that worship him must what? Worship in where? In spirit and in what? And in truth. What is truth? God's word. And in the book of Genesis, this spirit, the spirit of God, gave all power and authority to humans. In Genesis, God gave man authority. Therefore, it would have violated the divine law for him to interfere in human affairs when Adam and Eve got in trouble. Why didn't God just come in and just stop that? Because God gave man authority on this earth. We have authority here. God wants you to use the authority that you have. It is not in your authority, but in his authority and power. Y'all here this morning? Amen. So the power of God, the power is God's, but we have the right to use it because the price has been paid. I have the right to turn on the lights in here because we pay the bills. Amen. If I don't pay the bills, the light doesn't come on. But since the bill's been paid, the lights come on. And so since the bill has been paid in full, you have the right and the authority to utilize the power of God that is within your born-again spirit to overcome and win in life. And in every area, be a success. Praise God. Turn to somebody and say, I am successful. Amen. Amen. You are in Jesus Christ. So God gave man that power. The power is God's, but we have the right to make use of it because of Jesus. Listen to this. The heavens belong to God, but the earth belongs to us. What? Psalms 115:16. See, most people think God is sovereign and that God controls everything. So everything becomes an act of God. When a storm hits, it was an act of God. People are killed. Act of God. Sovereign God. God's in control. Wrong. Wrong. God is sovereign in who he is, but God gave man authority in this earth. God gave man the opportunity and the choice to make decisions. And in this earth, God said, I gave it to man. I'm going to show you. Look at this. The heaven, even the heavens, are who? The Lord's. That's why it's good to fly. Hello. Just want to throw that in. Amen. But the earth, he has given to what? He has given this earth and made it for you and I to have dominion and dominate. Wow, isn't that powerful? God made people in his own image and gave them dominion over the entire earth. Look at Genesis 1:26. Happened way back in Genesis. This is what God did. This is what God created. That's why God didn't step in when Adam and Eve were being tempted of the enemy and fell to that temptation. God didn't step in because God gave man the authority here on earth. Adam had the authority. The same authority that God had, God gave man, because God made man in his image and placed him in the garden and said, hey, you take care of it. Listen to what he said. Then God said, let us make man. Notice he said us. Us is Elohim. He didn't say, let me make man. He said, let us. Who was there? Jesus. Jesus was there in the creation. The Spirit was there in the creation. God said, Elohim, the plural name of God is Elohim. God said, let us make man in what? Our image, according to what? Our likeness. Let them have over what? Ooh, I love that. Hallelujah. Every time I go fishing, I say, fish, I've got dominion over you. If you're here in this stream, I'm catching you. Amen. I have dominion. He gave me that dominion. I have dominion over it. Kill a whale, save a baby. I'm sorry. Did I say something wrong? Kill a whale, save a baby. No, let me say that again. It's okay to kill a whale and save a baby. A baby is made in the image of God. We have dominion. Not that we shouldn't be good caretakers of this world, right? But if I want to eat a fish, I'll kill it and eat the fish. God gave me dominion. I'm just saying. You know, I like fish. I like cow. How do you think you eat a hamburger? You kill a cow. I like chicken. I love ribs. Anybody like ribs? Well, that's not kosher, but I pray over my food. It's all good. Whatever comes in this is sanctified. I lay hands on it and ordain it in the ministry. I love you guys. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds. Pheasants good, chickens good, birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over all the creeps. Over everything that's creeping, snakes and spiders, I don't like them, amen, but we have authority over them. Any spider comes in my house and I see it is a dead spider. Hello? Maybe so. My wife knows how I am about spiders, amen. I know how she is about mice. When we were first dating, I was taking her back to her apartment. You know, I was being just the gallant, you know, gentleman I was and still am, hopefully, to her. So, and I remember opening the apartment of her door, and she turned on a light, and she went in first. Always let the women go in first. You know, open the door, let them go in first, make sure it's safe. And I hear this blood-curdling scream. So I backed out the door. I did. I thought, what in the world? Something's got her, and I don't want it. Amen. But I assumed my bravery and went in, and she's standing up on the couch, light on. I'm going, what? And I looked, and there's this, I mean, the tiniest mouse I ever seen in my life. It's about that big. And I didn't have anything to get it, so only thing she had available at the time there was a big rolling pin. So I took that rolling pin, and I took my authority, and I whacked that mouse. she fell in love with me from that point on. And about the time that I whacked that one, I thought it was all done. And I turned my back, and she screamed again. She's back up on the couch. There was another little mouse about the same size. And I whacked that one too. I think I invented that game, man. But it was so cool. Because why? Because, you know, we don't think about the authority we have. We have authority in Jesus. One can put 1,000 to flight, the Bible says. That's why there's such power in agreement. When you're in agreement, two can put what?
10,000.
So when you're in agreement, what can you do? It's when you're out of agreement. That's why God says, I love unity. Because unity, there's anointing in unity when you're in together. Amen. Praise God. And in Christ, we have that unity, that togetherness, and we have that authority. And you can speak. God made you a speaking spirit. We're going to talk about that in just a moment. But you have that authority. He said, over everything that creeps, you have authority. Don't let the world come in. You know, the world just kind of, that's the way the devil is. He's so deceptive. He comes in and he just, stuff you read and you hear and you begin to think and dwell on that, and all of a sudden you say, well, there's nothing wrong with that, and I can kind of understand that, and oh yes, you know, oh yes, just float around. Dumb. All right? Y'all hear me this morning? I heard a bell go off, so that must have been the Lord, right? Amen. So there's power. God's given you power. We have the right to use it. Amen. God made people in his image. The word was made flesh, the Bible said. Look at John 1:14. The word was made flesh. The word became flesh, was born. He was full of grace and truth. I love that. And the word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. The glory is the only begotten Son of the Father. Full of what? What is Jesus full of? Grace and truth. Jesus was born. Why was Jesus born? Why did he come? Jesus was born so that God could come down to earth in human form to redeem us, atone us for Adam and Eve's sin. That's why Jesus came. Amen. And the imputation of Adam's sin came upon all men. And Jesus came to give us back the authority that Adam gave over to the devil in the Garden of Eden. Jesus came in the garden and also gave us back that authority so that now you and I have the authority to blow the devil away. Hallelujah. God could not redeem us without a body. He had to have a body because we are humans. So he came as a human in the manger and redeemed us, brought us back to the rightful state we were in the garden. The same authority, hallelujah, even greater in us because of Jesus. Praise God. God's appearance in an earthly body was not to take back his authority, but to fix what had been broken. So in the Old Testament, he tried to find someone to work through, but he could not. He couldn't find someone. Look at Ezekiel 22:30. Look at this. Powerful scripture. He tried and searched to find someone here on earth to work through, but he couldn't find anybody. So I sought for a man among them who would make up a wall and stand in the gap before me on behalf of what? The land, the world, the earth, that I should not destroy it. But I found what? He found no one. No one was worthy here to do what Jesus did. So Isaiah predicted Jesus' birth, saying it would be a sign. Look at Isaiah 7:14. It would be a sign from God. Isaiah predicted it. He prophesied this. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son and call his name what? Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Woo! That's powerful, man. So God reestablished his authority on earth when he finally received a physical body at birth. So this was God's plan all along, guys. It was his plan. But it had to be, you say, well, Pastor, why didn't it happen? So why did he have to wait over 2,000 years? Because he had to get somebody here on earth, hello, somebody to agree with what was in heaven and not only agree, but to speak it. And it took him over 2,000 years for people finally to agree with what God had already said and speak it. And Isaiah said, he would be wounded for our transgressions. He would be bruised for our iniquity, the chastisement of our peace. So he prophesied out, amen. And it was through those prophecies and people believing that Jesus came. But it took 2,000 years, church, for them to come into alignment with what God was working to do. For somebody to believe it. Hello? And finally, a little virgin girl, an angel appeared to her and said, Mary, you are blessed among women, not above women, but among women. And he spoke a word to her, and Mary said, she said, behold, you're going to conceive. You're a virgin, you're going to conceive. And Mary said, be it unto me according to what? Your word. And when she said that, you know what happened? Conception took place. All the promises of the Old Testament all of a sudden were found and fulfilled in this little virgin girl who said, opened her mouth and said, be it unto me according to your word. Why is it so important, guys, that our mouth line up with the word? Because when it does, amen, it ignites a birth within us. You might be a man, but I can tell you, men, you can be pregnant. You can experience pregnancy. Amen. How? You open up your mouth with the word, and all of a sudden you're pregnant. Amen. It comes into your spirit and that word produces results. You have a promise, you have a seed. I am a promise, I am a possibility. Amen. But it took all those years, and then Mary finally says, I believe. You know what? I believe there's probably some others that he spoke to, but they couldn't receive it. But Mary says, I receive it. I believe. And she spoke it. Amen. Hallelujah. When the plan was revealed to Mary, her obedience allowed it to happen. So the angel announced to her that God favored her greatly. He favors you greatly. Turn to somebody and say, I'm favored. Margie was up here praying favor. I said, oh, I like that. I am favored. Hallelujah. I say that everywhere I go. When I walk into a place, I say, I'm favored here. I'm the favored one. Thank you, Lord. When you go on your business in the morning to work, you need to walk in there and say, I'm favored. God's favor's on me. Hallelujah. Doesn't matter what's happening to anybody else. I know I am the favored one. Things are coming good my way because I know God's in love with me. I'm in love with him, and I'm favored. Woo, I got so much favor coming off of me. Everything I touch, whatever I put my hand to will prosper. I'm so favored. Praise God. I put it to this. I put it to that. I'm favored. It's going to prosper. There's seed coming out of my mouth. The seed is the word of God. I'm speaking it out. Amen. And every time I speak it, I expect a harvest. No farmer ever plants a seed without expecting a harvest. And every time I speak the word of God, I expect a harvest to come back as a result of that harvest. Amen. That's why you got here by a seed. Turn to somebody and say, I'm a seed. Premium, pure quality. You know, when you go out in Iowa, I was out in Iowa, they got all these seed signs. Premium seed, full quality seed, bug resistant seed. I'm thinking, I'm all that. Amen. I'm a seed. You got here by a seed, man. That's all you are is a seed. Think about that. That's how you got here. Praise God. Everything on this earth, as long as the earth remains, the Bible says there's seed time and harvest. So now God says, I'm just looking for somebody to take the authority and speak the seed. The seed, you got 66 bags of seed in here. 66 bags of authority in here. Take it out, speak it over your life. When you get up in the morning, speak it over your life. Hallelujah. Pray in the Spirit. Seed flowing out of you. Amen. We used to, when I was farming and I did farm, I like farming. But we had something called a broadcaster, and it would just throw seed everywhere. Okay, sometimes you put them in rows, but this would just throw seed everywhere. Everywhere you went, there was seed. And that's the way we should be. Everywhere we go, there should be seed. Praise God. Hallelujah. Anybody expecting a harvest besides Pastor? When I was going out there, I saw all this corn, all this harvest, and all this, you know, working in the fields, and all the harvest coming out, and all the corn. I'm going, wow, that is so cool, man. Amen. And it all started with the seed. And when you plant a seed, you get more seed. When you plant an apple seed, you get a lot of apple seeds and apples. Are y'all hearing me this morning? Wow. The Father gave life of the Son. The Son of Man then had the authority to execute judgment. Look at John 5, 26 and 27. John 5, 26 and 27. Where does this take place at? For as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son to have what? Life in himself, and we are in the Son, and has given him what? Authority. Has given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. You are a child of God. You have the same authority that Jesus had. Hallelujah. Amen. And what God did through Jesus restored authority and power to all of us. You got the power. Got the power. Colossians 1:16-17. Wow, I love this verse of scripture, guys. This is good. And you know, we just settle. Well, I'm just going to be in this job all my life. Well, I just got this habit. I'll always be that way. Well, I'll always, you know, it's just like me to do this. Well, I always choose the wrong guy. I always choose the wrong girl. I'm never going to get ahead. I could never go to college. All those stupid thoughts. I'm never going to be rich. Mama wasn't rich. Daddy wasn't rich. Well, you know what? It's just like me to inherit that disease. I know I'm going to get it. Just turn to somebody and say, you're in a new family. So you got new genes in you. And they ain't blue. And they aren't blue. You know, I had a messed up family. We moved from post to pillar. I lived in a hotel for over a year as a kid. You think that's security? It's you know, God still, thank you, Jesus, for your security. I mean, they dragged me all over the place. Man, I don't think we ever owned a house. I think we always rented. I think maybe the last, right before my father passed away, they bought a little house, and then he passed away. And I lost him at 17. But, I mean, that time between I was born and 17, we lived in adverse poverty. We weren't in the hood, we were in the projects. Because before the hood, there was the projects. Because the hood was a new term. The hood meant the projects. And we were there. And we were in adverse poverty as a kid. No, I mean, just, it's the way it was, the way my life was. And just moved all over the place. Didn't know if my father was going to come home at night. And if he did, sometimes he'd come home drunk. I remember one time protecting my dad from going down the stairs because he would open the door and he was so drunk he was getting ready to fall down our basement stairs in the house we rented in. And I remember as a little kid going to the bar and wishing my dad a happy birthday with a card. You know? So, people get messed up in your soul. Your soul gets so messed up, guys, because we're all in this earth suit. Then Jesus, and then I got you know, born again, but I was in such a religious setting, it did almost more damage than my family did. You know, and I had to really have to work through that, because, you know, all the condemnations, all the do's, all the don'ts, you know, when you hang a sign up, and you're so legalistic, when you have you know, chicken dinners, and you hang a sign outside, and it says chicken chest instead of chicken breast, because they didn't want to use the word breast, they used chest, so we had chicken chest dinners. I was like, really? And I'm like, call what it is, right? So, you know, I mean, it was I'm amazed. I am just all God's grace. All God's grace. You know, when my brothers joined the military, I realized why they did now, because they wanted to get away from home. My mother was in and out of mental institutions all of the life that I can remember. I mean, I had nervous breakdown after nervous breakdown. I remember going and seeing her in the mental institutions as a kid. That impacts your life back then, because they weren't like they were today. They are all crazy, and they are all walking around crazy. Hello? I'm sorry, I'm just saying it like it is. So don't say God can't make something of you or God can't use you. You know what? God's so good. I went back to, I about flunked out of school. I was going to quit. I don't know why I'm telling all this for somebody for some reason this morning. But I remember in high school, I wanted to quit school. I considered myself the biggest idiot there was. I considered myself so stupid. I was the class clown. You know where the class clowns are and why they're the class clowns? Because they have learning disabilities that could be corrected, but no one took the time or didn't know how to correct them, or they just, you know, fluffed them off, teachers do, as a troublesome kid. I gave the teacher more hell than anybody. And the kids would laugh, and the more they'd laugh, the more I'd give her hell. I just did. That was just me, because I wasn't there to learn, because I didn't think I had the capacity to learn. Although I did, but I didn't realize that. But God, you know, God's so awesome. I went back to college, received my Bachelor of Arts degree with almost a 4.0. No, that's to God. I'm just saying it. I'm just saying that for you. I'm just saying that for you, because I don't know what it is, but I see potential in people. Because maybe it's from where I've been. I see potential in people, and you're never too old. And I got to tell myself that all the time, because I'm 62. So I got to tell myself, I'm never too old, okay? But I see such potential in people because of God's gift of grace and his love for you, that he cares so much about you. And most people settle way below what God's graced them with. Way below, because they have the inferiority thing from the enemy or from your family or your soul or psyche so messed up from the childhood or what people have developed around you. And you start believing that when you start believing that. But I was so thankful I had a pastor tell me, you need to go back to college. I thought, I barely made it through high school, dude. The only reason I did, because my cousin dragged me back each time. I had an older cousin that was just a great, great guy. He dragged me back to school and set me down and helped me with my homework. And you know, I got through high school, barely, you know. So I went back to college, finished that. Then I went towards master's work. I'm just a few hours short of having my master's degree in leadership development. You know, so, and God's good. And I'm saying that to you this morning because of Jesus. Don't settle short. Don't let the enemy whisper in your ear. You have authority to do and to be greater than anything that you could think of. Don't sit there and say, I can't do it. I'm a product of my environment. It was my parents' fault. It's all this stuff. It's all that stuff. No, and it doesn't matter what age you are. I'm telling you, you have great capacity in you because of Jesus. That's why Paul said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Authority, all things. Amen. You want to run for president of the United States? You could run for president of the United States. I don't know if you'd want to, but you could. Amen. Stand this morning. Amen. God gave that for some reason. Somebody need to hear that this morning. And you know, God loves you so much. Listen, if you want to be a business person and own a business, I like business. Anybody like business besides pastor? I love business. I love business. Business is fun to me. I love buying and selling. I think that is such a hoot. It's just so much fun. If you want to do that, God will give you the ability to do that. Amen. If you want to be a lawyer, God will give you the ability to be a lawyer. Some of you are really good, you argue real well. So, you know, you could do that, you know. But I'm just saying, You have authority in Christ. Start speaking over your life, and you got to do this. You got to speak over your life positive things. You know, positive things. I know my mom loved me, but I don't think I ever heard her say that. I don't think I ever heard that. So, you know, don't give me excuses. You got a mom, you're blessed. You got a dad, you're doubly blessed. They're still alive. If one of them's gone, you still got a dad or a mom, you're still blessed. Praise God. Amen. If you got a Holy Ghost-filled mom, woo, look out. You're really blessed. Amen. Or a Holy Ghost-filled dad, man, what a blessing. Amen. Hallelujah. Let me speak some words of life over you today. And while I'm speaking over you today, I want you to just say, you know, I'm going to receive that, and I take my authority, and I know who I am in Jesus, that I am somebody, that, you know what, God's got a great plan for my life, and I want to pursue that plan with all my heart. Some of you need to be at Charis Bible College. Some of you need to be at Charis Bible College. Why? Because you could grow and learn in the Word, and there's nothing better to grow and learn in than the Word. Yes, amen. Praise God. You'll find out who you are and what authority you have. And you know what? You just need to come. You just need to be a part of it. It's an opportunity right here. Praise God. Amen. Raise your hands up today. Father, I thank you this morning. I speak life. I speak life, not death. I speak blessing, not cursing. Lord, that family curse, that third and fourth generation has been broken by Jesus. The Bible says that he took the curse of all the Old Testament law, Lord, and he took the curse and gave us the blessing. And we receive the blessing today. I pronounce and proclaim that the lives under my voice today are blessed, full of favor. Amen. Full of understanding. Their minds are full of the grace of God. Not the law, but the grace of God, that you unconditionally love them, that in them, God, there's a seed of the Word of God that produces a great harvest of impacting not only their families, but the nation, amen, and even the world. God, we can have world changers, world movers in here, in this place, because of you and your grace. Lord, do not let them settle for their thought pattern. God, there's some friends they need to change. There's some friends they need to let go of. Lord, they're dragging them down instead of building them up. And God, that is not the friend they need. They need a friend that will sharpen iron. Iron sharpens iron. And God, we thank you for that. Putting people in their lives, Lord, letting them come in contact with people that are movers and world shakers and making a difference in their life. Thank you for that today. We received that this morning. If anyone doesn't or has not received you, God, this day may they receive you right now by believing on you, not by performance, but by belief on you, by receiving all the work of the cross into their heart and life and confessing you as Lord and Savior. Thank you for that today, Lord. That's all you have to do this morning. I know it's simple, but that's it. Amen. And just receiving, praise God, and say, I am. Say with me this morning, I am a person of influence and authority. God's power and might reside in me. I am making a difference. God has a great future for me. Today I'm preparing for that harvest, for that future. I will speak the word. I will sow the seed of life out of my mouth. When the enemy comes, I will resist him. He will flee because I humble myself before God and his word. In Jesus' name, amen. Woo! Hallelujah! Yeah, get that warrior. Amen. God God's good. He is. You are so loved this morning. All right. You got to do this. You got to find some people today and just look them squarely in the eye and say, God's got purpose for your life. Come on, find some people. Tell them that before you leave. Say, God's got great purpose for your life. Amen. Great purpose for you. Great purpose for you, buddy.